Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? It is hump day. We are halfway through this thing, and the news just doesn't stop. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. How's everyone today? Hopefully everyone is doing well. Hopefully everyone is having a good week thus far. Sometimes I know it's hard to do. I've come to a conclusion. If you want to have a good day, don't turn on the news. Because once you turn on the news, that's a wrap. Everyone's fighting. This side, that side, this side, that side. But you know where you will come and feel good? Right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Because we are loaded today. What did I tell you guys? About Paul George, what did I tell you guys about the Clippers, and what did I tell you guys about that series? That wasn't even a close game last night. We got some sound from Paul George, and it has nothing to do with actual on-the-court Paul George. Denver-Utah, hell of a game. Hell of a game. Denver found a way to stay alive. So more power to them. We have a little bit of sound from them as well. So we'll get that loaded up for you. Jamal Murray went ballistic closing out that game. So we're loaded with good stuff for you today because that's what we do. That's how we roll. You're on the Cave Show with PLR. Got some Tiger sound for you. We're just loaded. Let me just say it like that. We're just loaded. We're ready to go. And my Chicago White Sox, Lucas Giolito last night pitched a no-no. Beautiful thing. Oh, and the Cubs are doing pretty well, too. We'll talk about all that with Steve Greenberg, Sun-Time columnist. Old friend from high school. We haven't caught up for a long time, so that should be a lot of fun as well. We're going to do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. It's located locally in Chandler, Arizona, at 4991 South Alma School. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Now, here's the cool part. If you are there when I am there, you get 15% off. So I have to let you know the next time. You got to stay on our social media to know when I'm there so you can get that discount. Now, you also can become a club member. You get access to a humidor. You get access to the members' lounge. In fact, actually, let me rephrase that. You get your own locker that backs up to a humidor. So you never have to worry about your sticks going bad. Plenty of TVs back there, all the comforts of home. There's couches, refrigerators, everything you need just to be there and relax. Now, if you don't want to become a club member, no big deal. There's an area too, tons of TVs. Sit back and relax. Now, if for any reason you can't get in physically, don't worry about that. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Same great selection, shipped out usually the same day. So you can't beat it. All this done at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, serving beer and wine when you get in the house. So let them know PLR sent you 10% off. Like I said, we got a lot of topics to get into today. We have guest calling and the one and only Steve Greenberg, Sun Times columnist. Let's open up these phone lines first. Let's do that, and let's go into our first break that way here on The Cave Show with PLR. Just remember, all calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line, 917-889-7828. Caller, thank you for your patience. It's Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, how are you, buddy?
All right. Well, I mean, you know, one day after we find out, you know, one coach gets fired, now he got another one got fired.
Okay,
ignoring.
I'm confused.
Say
that one more
time. Ignoring.
Oh, name ignoring. Well, I'm sorry. I was like, all right.
First
man,
Brett Brown,
you.
Now name ignoring.
That one kind of surprised me, though, to be honest with you.
Well, given the fact that he has that much of a great playoff record, I mean, maybe, you know, that was a sign to come. I mean, he had, you know, was respectable, you know, regular season, but in the postseason, I mean, he was, you know, pretty miserable, only 3-16.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know why that one kind of catches me off guard. I think that one has to do with he's just such a tough coach, and we saw the success he had. Not in the playoffs, obviously, with Seattle when he was coaching there. And now he got a team in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Granted, they lost the first round, but Victor Oladipo wasn't right. They were down Sabonis. Yeah. And it just, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'll just leave it at that. I say this, you won't be unemployed long.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean he was a decent coach. I mean he did, you know, get into the playoffs. You know, a lot had very good respectable regular season record, but you know he didn't win when it counted much.
You know what? And I'm with that. But you know what? This is gonna sound crazy.
Okay.
Lou, I think certain teams have to be separated by what they consider a successful season and what they consider an unsuccessful season. So
right.
I'll use this as an example. Philadelphia did not have a successful season because they've had too many stars, too much going on, and to get bounced out in the first round and swept, that's just not good enough for a coach to keep his place of employment. Okay. Whereas Toronto, Nick Nurse comes back after winning a title, minus one of the top five players in the NBA, has that team playing well and has that team looking like it's a team that could challenge Milwaukee for a chance to go to the finals. So that's a great coaching job. Mike Budenholzer, if Milwaukee doesn't get to the finals,
right,
how good of a job did he do? So I think it has to depend. No one thought Indiana was going to get to the finals. Maybe people thought they were better than getting swept, but people treat Miami like they're just some also-rans. Miami's good.
Yes, they are.
So, I don't know. I just think sometimes teams have to temper what their expectations are and just 100%, let's keep it real.
You know, a lot of these teams, a lot of the coaches have, you know, like the, you know, win the championship or bust mentality, and, you know, that's not right. I mean,
no,
I get
and
it.
It depends.
But,
and it depends on the team, Lou. Like, if you're in L.A. and you go out and you get you know, you go out and you bring in Anthony Davis and pair him with LeBron, then, yeah, it's them going getting eliminated in the first or second round. That's a bad year. But if you're a team like Portland who had injury after injury after injury and you claw yourself into the playoffs, I don't know if you can say that's a bad year. So maybe Indiana thought more of what Indiana was than I thought Indiana was, or maybe some other people. But – I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, they are who they are.
Yeah.
And they're not a contender. They're not a contender. I mean,
dark
if we're just going to be honest, Indiana's not a contender. They're a playoff team, but they're not a championship contender. So the only thing I can think that would get him fired was that they got ousted in the first round. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And we got another big event coming up next week, the U.S. Open.
Can't wait for that. Love
Yeah,
tennis.
but Serena wasn't too happy about her latest outing. Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about. You know what? There's certain people in sports I don't worry about. Serena, LeBron, Tiger, Mike Trout. I don't really worry about them. They always seem to find their way.
Well, Tiger needs a big win at this next tournament if he wants to qualify for the playoffs.
Very true. Very true. He talked about that a little bit earlier, so I actually have some sound coming up in the third segment with Tiger talking about that.
Remember, like I said, you know, this is not the Tiger that, you know, came on the scene 20 years ago.
Lou, I'm not the PLR that came on the scene 20 years ago.
Right, I guess.
It's so bad.
Well, I guess
Muhammad Ali famously tell Howard Cosell, I talked to your wife, she said, you aren't the man you used to be years ago. So I think we all can say that one.
Well, I guess it goes to show that some people can age gracefully and others don't.
Amen to that. Amen
yeah,
to that.
I mean, Ali, you know, at least Ali didn't know when to step away at the right time. Much I can say for another boxer from our generation who wants to make a comeback at 47 years old. Give me a break.
I understand, but, you know, Ali did take a butt whoop in those last couple fights. He didn't have to, but. Well, look, my friend, I have to jump. I guess looks like they're calling in.
Okay.
Buddy, I will talk to you tomorrow. All right, my friend.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, Lou. Always good to catch up with Lou. That's my man there. Good friend of the program. So let's take this commercial break. Let's come back. When we do, we're going to come back with the great Steve Greenberg, Sun Times columnist. We'll do that in exactly 1 minute and 15 seconds. Set your clock. Ready? Go. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hopefully you set that stopwatch. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday here on the Cave Show with PLR. Don't forget, you can check us out every day. If you missed the show at 1 o'clock, we are replaying it, or rather, it is replayed on KXRN, the Casual Sports Radio Network. Also, make sure, obviously, if you're here now, you're checking us out live. So many places to catch us live, so many carriers. I'm so thankful for all that. We are on BTR as well as KXRN. KXRN, you can download BTR as well. You can download from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, or wherever you get your apps from. Right now on the line, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, when I tell you I've known this person literally for 30 years plus, I'm really not lying to you. He is a great columnist from the Sun Times. Steve Greenberg in the Cave Show with PLR. Steve, buddy, what's happening?
It hasn't been 30 years. We're like in our mid-30s.
Woo! You know what? I don't know if I want me back in my mid-30s, because I'm thinking back. I think I took at least 2 years off my life then. So I think I'm better right now.
Yeah, I turned 50 last week. I don't know about you, but it's just ahead of me, maybe.
Hey, it's all good. I hit 51 this summer. So this is the time 51. Of our lives. Yep, I'm right there. So I get you. Time flies. I can't believe how much time flies, but I look at some of our friends on Facebook, and we're all old and older. Let me rephrase that. And kids, and a friend on Facebook has a daughter that graduated from Lane. I'm like, good God, how old am I?
Well, we're hanging in there. I'm glad to be with you. Hope all's well.
Hey, all is good. And today couldn't have been any more perfect for you to come on a no-no on the South Side last night. How amazing was that?
Yes. You know, it was, first of all, I have to say, regrettably, I was not there. Almost went and didn't. So you don't get to see too many of those. But of course I watched, and yeah, it's great. I mean, the White Sox, a team that is often overlooked, I think, on a national level. I don't mean this year. I mean always, right? You know, I mean, ESPN will put up a graphic on championships won in Chicago and leave out the White Sox, overlook the White Sox. So that's part of the culture here, part of the culture of Sox fans and all that. This is an extraordinarily fun team and filled with characters and a team that looks pretty incredible getting off the bus, as they put it, you know, big, good looking, mm-hmm. athletic, young, full of such promise and really everything core wise that 2016 Cubs team was, minus, you know, a large degree of the fame, but with all that potential, and I would say, you know, conceivably more. So Giolito is a key to it all. And, you know, I think of him as emblematic of the entire rebuild, because a couple of years ago, Lucas Giolito was literally, if you go by the numbers, the worst pitcher in baseball. Highest ERA.
Yes, he was.
He was a mess. And he underwent such a personal renaissance, you know, both the way he thinks the game and the way he pitches it. And then the kind of backdrop to it all, the context of it, is he's just about the best dude in sports in this town. You know, he's a wonderful young guy, bright, engaging, a storyteller, considerate, all these things. And so you're happy for him on top of everything else. You know, it couldn't happen to a better guy on that team. And the Sox are one to watch. I think they can win their division and just roll, you know, really get hot because they're built like that.
Steve, did they mirror the way the Cubs rebuilt back, obviously leading up to their World Series championship? Because it seemed like when Epstein got to the Cubs, he cleared the deck, brought in a different manager, redid everything from scratch, got rid of a lot of high-paid players, and pretty much started over. Looks like the Sox mirrored that a lot in what they did. Is that similar? Is that similarity striking, or did the Sox do it a little bit different than the Cubs?
They did it a little bit. A little different. It'll give you a couple examples of how. For one thing, the Cubs didn't develop pitcher. Dio, in his entire time with the Cubs, if you'll believe it, has had one homegrown pitcher, I think, start and win a game at the big league level. I don't even remember who it was. They didn't draft Kendricks, for example. So the Cubs have bought their pitching, traded for their pitching, acquired it in free agency and all that. The White Sox have largely developed theirs, although they did trade for Giolito, and the White Sox have acquired many of their best prospects in trade, some of them with the Cubs. So I think the difference is that the Epstein regime maybe drafted more core position playing prospects who made it, you know, who are part of the mix, either were in 16 or in many cases still are, or in the case of the Cubs' best player this year, Ian Happ, didn't come up until 17, but, you know, another guy who was a first-round pick for them. The Sox really, Rick Hahn and Billy Williams, they really focused on pitching. And so that has reaped rewards this year, as Michael Kopech chose to sit out the season, their top pitching prospect, as Carlos Rodon has gotten hurt again, and Reynaldo Lopez has faltered, gotten hurt again. They're still with enough arms to run out there and hang in there, and it's because it's been really a pitching-rich rebuild and a pitching-rich organization. And you add to that, you know, acquiring a guy like Eloy Jimenez and having Luis Robert, one of the top young prospects in baseball, and all that, and adding a guy, a catcher, the quality of Yasmani Grandal. I mean, there's just there's just pieces on pieces that are quality. And I think what was a roster even last season with all kinds of guys on it who really were minor league players, the Daniel Polkas of the world, now, 1 year later, it's one of the most impressive rosters, just purely in terms of talent, that there is. So very striking and a huge step forward.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, Sun-Times columnist Steve Greenberg. Steve, how cool is it to be in the city covering both teams when they're both being successful? There's not one team that's getting all the pub in terms of winning, but both teams are doing well.
Well, it's very, very different. The I want to get this right. I'm not sure I can remember exactly how many years it was, but the first game this season that the Cubs and Sox played against each other, which was at Wrigley a little over a week ago, I suppose, was the first game since 08, if you can believe it, since 2008. It was the first regular season game played between those teams when both had winning records. I mean, you know, even one game over 500. So,
right.
It's almost never, right? I mean, in 08, both the Cubs and Sox won their divisions and went to the
right.
Playoffs. And what happened? You know, I'm pretty sure they both got swept, didn't they? The Sox got lost to the Rays, and I know the Cubs got swept by the Dodgers. And so we have next to no experience in this city of actually flirting with the notion of a so-called crosstown World Series. You know, this season, I think it's still very unlikely, right? The Dodgers are head and shoulders above the rest of the National League, and they're certainly a lot better than the Cubs, and the White Sox are still coming on. But, add to that if they do play, it'll probably be, you know, in a bubble somewhere and inaccessible to fans in person. So it makes it all kind of strange, as these games are all strange this year, but looking at it from a broader view or 30,000 foot view, yes, it's fun. It's cool to have both teams be good at the same time, and they are good. And it's really there is no way to look at them at this point as they sit with nearly identical records and make a clear case that one is better than the other. So it's a good argument that people can have and have a lot of fun with. Because they're both playing around, you know, 667-ish baseball. And that is, man, that's not happened here.
You know, I was kind of – something that you said a second ago, and I was going to ask you about it anyway. I was kind of hard on Major League Baseball and the way that they got the season going. And I'll quickly tell you what my thought process was. When they were busy, I said, why don't they do it like a pod, since they're not going to do a bubble? Make a pod the cities that have two stadiums. So you can have a pod in Chicago, a pod in New York, a pod in L.A., and a pod in San Francisco. And then the winner of, you know, the San Francisco pod plays L.A., and then obviously the same with New York, Chicago, and then you bubble the deal. And so when I heard Manfred come out the other day and make his comment, I started thinking about how baseball is always saying we could have, we should have, I wish we would have. Now they have an opportunity for the playoffs to get this right, plan ahead, find a bubble city, put the players in there. Do you think that realistically baseball is going to get it right by the time we get to the playoffs and try to keep guys from getting the virus and get through the playoffs in the World Series?
Ian Happ is the Cubs player rep. I mentioned him a couple minutes ago, and he said today on the radio here that he's pretty sure there will be, you know, some form of bubble for the postseason, and then that stands to reason. I mean, that's been the speculation. I think baseball benefits from seeing how successful the NBA has been with its one bubble and how successful the NHL has been with its two, which is somewhere in between the NBA approach and a pod approach that you described. So Big Ten, and just for example, in football, is looking at something regionally, you know, on a regional basis, sort of along the lines of what you described, playing in Detroit and Minneapolis and Indianapolis, you know, where you have these domes. And so can baseball, you know, could baseball have done it differently from the start, and should it have? I think the answer is yes, and it probably would have if it could do it over again. But, you know, baseball being baseball, the internal emphasis was on negotiations and money and not seeing the, you know, forest for the trees. That's been baseball's self-inflicted problem forever. Yes, I think that they have a great chance to get it right, relatively speaking, because, again, of these examples. So whether it's, you know, however they do that, for example, you know, are they going to stick with the plan to have higher seeded teams in these wild card series, these best of three series? There's going to be 8 of them in all, 4 in each league. Are they going to have those be at home ballparks, or will they start the bubble process sooner? That's the kind of thing they have to decide. And as well, if there will be a bubble for each, an American League bubble, a National League bubble for the course of the playoffs, if there will be 2 of them, if there will be more than that, or if it'll all be in one place like Southern California, where you've got a few ballparks. And I really don't think that baseball, you know, that decision is made on any level at this point. It's being discussed. So they have a chance, yes. If they can get to the finish line of this season, having played enough games in the case of each team to the general satisfaction of the public, and having had a postseason that is pulled off and ends up with some team raising a trophy, it'll be a significant victory for the reputation of the league, I guess, you know, in this challenging time. And so it is a chance for Manfred to do some good, and for the management and the players to work together and not sabotage the sport. You know, we'll see how they take it from here, but it's got to involve bubbles in my view, for sure.
On the Kerry Lackey Law out here on the Cave Show with PLR, Steve Greenberg, Fun Times calling. Steve, I just got a couple more for you. First, let me just pop back to something else you said. We try, when you cover the Diamondbacks for as long as I have, we really try not to mention the Dodgers. That's like it's like swearing at us, basically. It's like we know they're good, but then we make fun of them too because they seem to choke every year in the playoffs. And I know choke is not what they do, but when they beat us every year, we got to come up with something that makes us almost feel a little bit better. But in saying that, I know they're playing like the best team in baseball in the National League. Do you see anyone beating them other than COVID-19 that could stop them from getting to the World Series?
Yeah, the time to get them might be in a 3-game series, right? You know, whoever that eighth seeded National League team is, a 3-game series, anything could happen. But no, they seem to be a lot better than everybody else. I'm chuckling at the way you prefaced this, because it reminds me of, I had almost the same conversation last season with Archie Bradley at Wrigley. You know, was talking to him about the Dodgers, and he said almost exactly what you did about, you know, why do you even kind of bring them up? It's like, we know they're better. They're always friggin' better. They beat us every year. And he was so funny on it, you know, so regular guy about it and other topics. I walked away thinking, man, this is one of the really interesting cats in this sport. But so anyway, yeah, I mean, I think we'd all agree that they've got better players than the rest. But, you know, at playoff time, pitching is so key that you don't know who's going to be locked in and who isn't. Anybody can go down, and the Nationals proved last year that no lead in a series is safe, and that no perceived deficit in talent is realer than how guys are playing right now today. So sure, the Dodgers can lose.
See now, see how
I might even take the field over them if I could.
You know, it's funny you said about the field. Archie is one of the coolest people you can talk to. He, him and I once had a conversation about March Madness, and I just thought he was hilarious because he said he could care less about the money in a pot. He just wanted to have the bragging rights when it was all said and done. So just found him very, very entertaining, very relaxing guy. But so here's the question. Got to ask you, and I'm hoping for this answer. One team is going to come out of Chicago. If it were one team, would you say it was the Cubs or would you say it was the Sox?
Well, first of all, I think the Sox have a better thing going on right now than the Cubs, although the records are about the same. I don't base that on the fact that the teams played each other and the Sox won 2 of 3. I don't think that's really relevant. But, you know, they score runs in bunches. They have pitched since the first handful of games of the season. Like, let's say, not counting the first week or something like that, they've pitched almost as well as any team out there, a collective ERA that ranks something like fourth or fifth in baseball in that span. So the perception of this team is it's a bunch of home run hitters up and down the lineup. If they can just string together enough pitching, they can survive. But that sells them short because – Lucas Giolito, Dallas Keuchel are a top two that is on a par, at least, I think, or let's say on a par with what you can count on out of Kyle Hendricks and Yu Darvish. And after that, the Sox have a bunch of live arms and you know, guys who might do all right. They've got a reliable closer at the end of their bullpen. They've got Aaron Bummer, ultra-reliable left-handed reliever due back soon and back in the bullpen. So they're just going to get stronger numbers-wise. Nick Madrigal, the enticing rookie second baseman, will be back. And so I think their ceiling's higher, you know, than the Cubs is. Now, granted, the Cubs have been without Chris Bryant. They're not getting the usual production from Javi Baez or even Anthony Rizzo. And Wilson Contreras. So their all-stars might come around. But there's a difference to how hard the Cubs are having to work to win a baseball game and how easily the White Sox are doing it. And that difference feels like something to take seriously to me, that the Sox are barely scratching the surface of how good they can play if they're completely locked in, which is why I think they are truly – a leading World Series contender in 2021, but they might just get hotter than heck in 2020, and be the story of the postseason, and it wouldn't surprise me. Is that what you want to do?
Man, you redeemed yourself twice. You redeemed yourself with the Archie Bradley and the Dodgers, and you redeemed yourself with the White Sox. So I'm good.
Okay,
the rest of my day is going to be.
I went one way versus the other. And then I realized at the very end of that, I hope he wasn't hoping for the other way.
You know what? I'm one of the few people that went to Wayne, and I was a White Sox fan. There weren't many of us, and I was one of the few. So you talk about being a small minority of White Sox fans. I don't think you'd get any smaller than that one.
No, you're right. I don't know. Do your listeners know how close our high school was to Wrigley? I mean, right down.
I'm not sure. Yeah, literally. I mean, I remember marching down there for Lane Tech's like 50th anniversary or whatever. We literally paraded there. It's that close. So, yeah, if you were a Sox fan, you were definitely at the wrong place. But somehow, I managed to hold it together all 4 years. But it's great, man. It's great catching up with you. And believe me, I read your stuff a lot. You're a fantastic writer. You're the writer that I wish that I could be. I'll say it like that.
Well, that's nice. Thank you for saying that. And the check is in the mail.
No worries. No worries, my friend. Hey, listen, hopefully I can catch up with you again towards the end of this baseball season and we can see what how it all shook down.
For sure. I look forward to it.
Hey, listen, I know you're
Take
on
care,
Twitter.
Man. Thanks for having
and
me.
No worries. Listen, I know you're on Twitter and all that. You want to tell everyone how they can read your articles and everything?
Sure. Well, on Twitter, I'm at SL Greenberg. And my Berg is B-E-R-G, not, you know, B-U. We always have to spell that out. And you know, sometimes.com. And I appreciate it, yeah, for sure.
All right, my friend. We'll catch up. Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right. Take care.
All righty. Steve Greenberg, Sun-Times columnist. Literally, when I tell you, I've known Steve forever. Listen, there's some breaking news. I've got to hit you with it. We're going to do that in exactly 15 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar. Enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Great to catch up with an old friend like that and talk some Chicago sports. I do have some sound coming up for you here on the Cave Show with PLR. Some of that Lucas Giolito interview from his no-no last night. Like I said, I promise you, some Jamal Murray, some Paul George, some Tiger Woods. We have all that coming over the next few segments. But right now, some breaking news. The Milwaukee Bucks will be boycotting their NBA playoff game following the shooting of Jacob Blake, who was shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha, Wisconsin. More details will be coming out about this. Being on air, it's impossible for me to get the sound for you right now live, but I will have more as the story unfolds. Make sure you're following us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. This, I believe, is the first time ever a team is boycotting in the name of social justice. So they will not be playing today. They were scheduled to tip, and no, there will not be a game. More information to follow as I get it. So since we're talking about basketball, we're going to stay with basketball. Kind of a hard transition, but I guess we're just going to go from that, because what I don't want to do today is go down and spend the next 20 minutes on my thoughts of what happened in that situation. So we're going to keep it moving. We're going to talk hoops. Yesterday, the Clippers really pounded the Mavericks. Folks, look for this to happen again. If Kristaps Porzingis is still out and ankles, let me tell you something. Luka Doncic's ankle is no good right now, and you don't get better playing every other day. You obviously need a lot of treatment, but you also need rest. And I don't care if you're 21, 25, or 31. When you're playing every other day like that, that's just simply not enough time for you to get your body right and to be ready to play a full-on NBA game. And there's no basic getting around that. So they're going to struggle. Now, I'm still saying what I said before. If the Clippers win game 5, they win game 6. I'm not moving from that, and we'll get into that more tomorrow. But the story that came out about this game had to do with mental health. And I want to tack this on a couple of different aspects, because as reporters, sometimes we look for things, and then when players are honest and real, we bring them down for it. And I thought Paul George was being open and honest about the way he felt and what was going on with him and his mental health. There's been people that have come out already. Roger Bell was one who said I don't sugarcoat it. So, you know, you keep that shit to yourself. I don't agree with that. I don't. You have to be able to speak. Listen, we can do this manly thing and be the nothing bothers me. I'm a man. I eat raw meat and I live in a log cabin without heat in the wintertime. And then what happens is you raise your kids to be the same way. There's nothing wrong with accepting what someone is telling you about the way they're feeling. And Paul George was honest. This is one of the things he said about his friends and his family getting him through this.
It was just a little bit of everything. You know, I underestimated mental health, honestly. I had anxiety, a little bit of depression. Just being locked in here and, you know, I just wasn't there. I checked out. And it was, you know, games 2, 3, 4. I wasn't there. I felt like I wasn't there. But, you know, shout out to the people that was in my corner, the people that gave me the words. Shout out, Laura. You know, they helped big time. Helped me, right? And be back in great spirits. Yeah. Can't thank them enough.
And I see I have callers online. Callers, please don't hang up. Bear with me. Let me just get through this. I agree. Listen, this man is telling you he had a hard time. Listen, not everyone is built for this bubble. You have no interactions with anyone, or you're not doing anything that you're used to. Now, I know these guys make a ton of money. I get that. But just because you make a ton of money doesn't mean that every situation that you're put in, it's going to be a good mental situation for you, and everyone is going to feel the exact same. That's not the truth. They're people, not robots. They have emotions. They have feelings.
Yeah, I mean, everybody reached out, whether it was in person, through a text. All of my guys showed up for me. They helped me. They were there when I needed them. I'm indebted to this team. The energy, the synergy. The camaraderie, the brotherhood. I can't thank this squad enough.
It's a good thing he has teammates that are there to help him get through this. Not the keep that shit to yourself type people. I promise you, other side, I'm going to get to that. I do have a couple calls on hold. I'm going to get to one. So we'll randomly take this one. You're on the Cave Show with PLR and Kelly Like You Online. To whom am I speaking, please? Well, looks like I guessed wrong on that call, and I got a clown. So moving right along, I think he absolutely did the right thing. Turn to those internally, turn to those who care most about him. And hopefully he works out of this mentally. And like I said, for those, you know, keep this to yourself, men eat raw meat. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to miss you with that. Whether or not I respect you as a person, as a player, or whatever, as a radio host, as a whatever, yeah, there's a time and place. No vote. The other game, Denver, Utah, incredible game. Wow, that was a fun game to watch. Incredibly fun game to watch. Jamal Murray closed it out at the end. There's a little bit of sound of what he said at the end. And one thing I like, you know what, I'm not even going to set that part up. I'm going to let you hear it, and then I'm going to tell you what I like about what Jamal Murray said.
That's a challenge for me. I mean, I think of the big bruise on my knee, but I'll be fine. You know, that's the least of my worries. No, yeah, I got 36 hours to get ready for the next game. And like I said, you guys are focusing on me. It's not just about me. I can put the ball in the hoop, but when we come together and we're on the same page defensively, we're making them work. And we're getting our run and everybody's going, you know, we're a tough team to beat.
Love that line from a young player. You're making this too much about me. This is about us. This is about us coming together as a team. And they're going to have to come together as a team. They're down 3-1 against a really game Utah team. The series is really good. Really good. So let's see what Jamal has. His coach, Mike Malone, said he He's becoming a superstar in front of our very eyes. What has this bubble shown us? It's shown us that Devin Booker has become a superstar in front of our eyes. Donovan Mitchell is getting up at the biggest time. It's showing us Nikola Jokic, in my opinion, is the best center in basketball. He's not the second. He's the best. It's showing us Jamal Murray taking that next step in these playoffs. It's showing us Jimmy Butler, well, we already knew he was a closer. It's showing us how good Bam Adebayo is. A lot of these guys are going to be the people that we see in the future. They're showing us what they can do. Fun playoffs. I promise you some sound from Tiger. I promise you some sound from Lucas Giolito. We're going to do all that. This is going to be a short one. Back in 30 seconds. Cave Show, PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
And welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on all the social media platforms at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Facebook, and Instagram. Breaking news, like I said a few minutes ago, the Milwaukee Bucks have decided to boycott, and now actually all NBA playoff games will likely be canceled tonight in protest of the shooting of Mr. Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So it's looking like the NBA, I think after last night, and Doc Rivers had a long statement that he made, very heartfelt. And mind you, anyone that comes to Doc Rivers' side eye, his dad was a police officer in Maywood for over 30 years. So I don't think there's anyone that respects police work more than him. Considering every day he went to sleep, or every day he went to school, or every day he went to work, or every day he went anywhere, he knew his dad's line was his dad's life was on the line. So those people that are making stupid, uninformed comments, you know what? At this point, I think Twitter has become the spot where the stupid can feel at home because there's enough stupid people out there to join them. I don't think there's any other way to put it. I promised you some sounds from Tiger. He's talking PGA. He's talking FedEx. He's talking Phil. He's talking all that stuff. He even talked about the senior tour. Talked about the course. But first, listen to Tiger talk about the championship, FedEx.
Well, to be part of the tour championship was being a part of the top 30 guys. And that they've been the most consistent players throughout the entire year. That has certainly evolved with the FedEx Cup, and you get hot late and get yourself to the tour championship. They've tried to adjust the system over the number of years, and I think they've got it right. But if you look at the players from 1 to 30, they're the most consistent players throughout the entire year. Now, granted, some players have had more success towards late part of the year, but the whole idea is in order to get to East Lake, you've got to be consistent. And in order to win the Tour Championship and win the FedEx Cup, it's about getting hot at the right time and right at the very end, just like every other sport.
I don't know about you or everybody else, but everybody wants Tiger to do well because Tiger pays everybody. Tiger gets everybody paid. Sponsors love it when he makes it to the next round. Sponsors love it when he's making tournaments. Sponsors love it when he shows up to tournaments. Everybody does better when Tiger is doing well. And there's so many great golfers out there. Justin, Phil, there's a ton of them. But no one carries the torch like Tiger. Now, he did get a chance to talk a little bit about Phil and good old Lefty. Here's what he had to say about Phil.
Golf, that he said he's been close to playing well. I mean, obviously he played well at Memphis. you know, I think that, you know, he was already one of the longer hitters out here, and now he goes to where, you know, he's going to pick up a huge advantage off the tee, but you have to take advantage of that opportunity, you know, off the tee, and then his wedge game's, you know, off the charts, as we all know, and give him a wedge in there, he's going to put it inside of, you know, 10, 15 feet, you know, each and every time. You hold those, you get momentum, and keeps it going. There's no reason why he can't win, you know, every winning plays out there. He's got such a big advantage over the rest of the field just with sheer length.
Well, there you go. And then he was asked about the course that he's playing on right now and some of the complaints that people had about the course. Tiger's going back some years when he gives this analysis and says the course for them, it's fine.
It held up great. Now, there were a couple hot rounds. I think Jim and BJ both shot 63, but you know, you get calm conditions, the right setup, and you get the right guys. Of course, it's going to go low, but there are only a handful of guys that end up under par anyway. So it was a U.S. Open. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be tough. It just had, you know, one day where a couple of players went nuts. Okay, so what? But over the course of the entire week, the course panned out. It played hard. It played difficult, and the scores evened out. I think this year the rough is up again. It's in 6-7 inches in spots, and it's gnarly. And if we happen to get the weather, it's supposed to get Friday night, and then if it gets wet, you better hit the ball in the fairway. But the greens right now are getting baked out. I mean, it's supposed to be, as you know, mid-90s in a couple of days. So they're hand-watering the greens, trying to keep them alive and keeping it right on that edge, right where it should be.
You know, whenever Tiger plays, it's always, do you take the field or do you take Tiger? Which one is it? What you going to go with, the field or with Tiger? I mean, in golf, it's always easier to take the field, obviously. But let's go with this, like I said before. Let's go with Tiger to make cuts so everybody can have a reason to watch golf the entire weekend. What about the senior tour? I know you're 6 years away, Tiger. What about that?
There was a time in which I didn't think I would play out here again. So I'm just enjoying what I have here, and that's 6 years away. That's a long, long time. So I've only been back for a few years, so look forward to just playing out here and being part of the guys out here.
That's cool. Well, I'm looking forward to watching Tiger get his thing on, get the thing going this week, and we'll see what happens. I promise you we'd circle back around as a Chicago White Sox fan. I want to get into that. Also, have a little bit of sound from Torrey Lovello because the D-backs took yet another loss. So I want to play this Torrey first, and then we'll get into what he's talking about after that with his team.
You know, it's a fairly common theme here. I bring in, you know, the same thought and the same message here now for several days in a row after we've lost several games in a row. And, you know, there's frustration and it's very hard and it's difficult to you know, put my finger on exactly what's going on. But, you know, I thought the way the game went today, we surged at times, we pushed at times, and we had some momentum and we created some opportunities. And, you know, you get the bases loaded in the final inning with the tying run at third and the go-ahead run at second. You know, hopefully that gives you a little bit of momentum for the following day. Now, offensively, we had some good approaches today. Walker hit the home run. John Jay chipped in with the solo home run. You know, David Peralta had a really nice approach there in the ninth inning to drive in a run. So there were some positives that we're going to draw on that we feel like we're going to continue to teach and push and hopefully get this thing turned around offensively.
Yeah, well, they need to. And I feel bad for Torrey. I feel bad for this team. They are out there fighting. I think what happens is when you get in that rut, I think when they lost that third game, it was all, no, here we go again. And it's real easy to get caught up in that. Real easy. So we'll see if they fight their way out of it tonight. They're last in the NL League West, and they're quickly going further down in the basement. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens today. We'll have more on the D-backs tomorrow as well. Like I said, last night, Lucas Giolito pitched a no-no. Those happen so rarely. So when you can get talent from that, you have to get that played. So I just wanted to talk. I want you to know what he said about that last pitch. When you know it's coming around, you know you're close to the no-no. You got that last pitch. Got to get that out to keep that no-no.
I knew McCann was going to call the high fastball. I was about ready to throw it to the backstop. Unfortunately, I pulled it down a little bit. I looked at the pitch again. It wasn't a terrible pitch, but I think that he was ready for the heater, and he put a really good swing on it. But, you know, that's part of a no-hitter. There's always that, like, one play, right? And I guess that was the one. We had a couple, honestly. We had the line drive to Yo-Yo, the soft grounder, T.A. Pito, and then the final one. No hitter is not, it's not all the pitcher ever. There's always that amazing defensive play, that solid defense behind you. The catcher back there, McCann, I mean, I can't give him enough credit. I shook him off one time to throw a fastball when he called slider, and then we ended up getting the guy out on like a changeup the next pitch or something. So, credit goes to the entire team behind me. They got those runs early, so I was comfortable. That's it.
Steve Greenberg was saying how when you remember 2018, Lucas Giolito may have been one of the worst pitchers in baseball. And he reflected on that.
Crazy, man. The weird thing is that I always – envisioned that I'd throw a no-hitter in the big leagues. If you had asked me about it in 18, I probably would have been like, what the hell are you talking about? But that was a weird year. I think that, you know, it's just a product of hard work, determination, learning how to trust myself, trust my stuff. I knew that, you know, for something like that to happen, stars kind of have to align. Obviously, the defense behind me was unbelievable, especially the ground ball up the middle with T.A. and Pito, and the final out with that hard liner to Engie. But I knew it was in there. I knew it was possible that I'd be able to pull one off, and I'm glad that we were able to get it done.
Scott.
And the last bit of time I have from Lucas is, when did you know you had something special?
I knew it was working after the first inning. Nice 1-2-3 inning. And then it just kept building and building. After the sixth inning is when I really started to, like, notice what was going on. And then after the seventh, it was like, I got six outs left. We're going to make this happen. I looked at who was coming up, and I was like, this is very much within the realm of possibility. So I just need to continue to stick with my game plan, and we'll make it happen.
That's cool. Congratulations to you, Lucas Giolito. No hitters. Rare. It's so rare in this game. Well, that's it. That's it for us. We are wrapping up. Steve Greenberg, Sun-Times columnist. Thank you, sir, for coming on. It's really cool when you go to high school with someone. You can make that call, and they're right there for you 30-some-odd years later. So thank you, and we definitely will catch up with him again once the baseball playoffs get started. Thanks for the calls that call in. All calls may be to the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Again, breaking news, the Milwaukee Bucks have boycotted their game today, and it looks like all the NBA teams will boycott this game, whatever round they are in the playoffs, in the bubble, in Orlando. Make sure you're following us on social media, on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at thesportscave.com. Website is thesportscave.com is with the K. Make sure you're following us on the Instagram, the Twitter, and the Facebook at thesportscave. Again, all that's with the K. My Twitter is PLR on sports. Thank you for joining me this Hump Day. We will be back Thursday ready to roll. And as I like to say at this time, as we close this out, mighty temptations, bring us home. This has been the Cave Show with PLR.